Welcome to the Cairns Writes Podcast, home of science fiction, fantasy, and horror author Michael Cairns, me. If you like what you hear today, you can find more at cairnswrites.com and download free sci-fi novella, Childhood Dreams. In episode 7 of Scarlet's Walk, our heroine met some of the council and discovered that for all the silly voices and bunny slippers, they were just as unpleasant as she had expected. She also found Martin. Scarlet's Walk, Episode 8. Scarlet had a tissue crumpled up in one of the pockets, and she tried to wipe the blood off his face. But it was dried and hard, and every time she touched him, he moaned and pulled away. Martin was unconscious, or at least trying to be, and she sat back on her haunches, looking up at him. He was a mess, and she grabbed at her jeans, clenching her fists to stop the tears from coming. Her lip wobbled, and she reached out, touching his shoulder as gently as she could and whispering, "Martin, wake up, it's me. It's Scarlet." He hissed, pulling at the bonds, which she saw now were bands of leather, dark brown and smooth. "Don't say your name." His voice was different, lower and rough and slow. She nodded, although he still had his eyes closed. "It's me, Joanna, your apprentice." Now his eyes did crack open. "Joanna?" She shrugged. "First thing that came to mind, lots of people asking me who I am tonight." "They'll do that," he coughed, his shoulders bulging as he strained against the bonds. "Well done. Why are you here?" "You've missed my last two lessons." His eyes were dull and lifeless, but now they opened wider and he chuckled, shaking his head at the obvious pain. She sat back again, laughing also. "Yeah, I was wondering if you could, you know, maybe give me a catch-up sometime." "Well, I've not much on my plate right now. What would you like to learn?" "Who are the ladies?" His head snapped up, eyes burning into her. She'd spent the last 6 weeks seeing him as a slightly odd, sort of hunky but old sort of person. He wasn't like that anymore. His eyes were haunted. He was, she realised, actually alive and doing things when she wasn't there. He had a life and stuff. Weird. "Why do you want to know?" "Well, I sort of met them." His head dropped and he sagged in his bonds. He shook his head again, slowly this time, before looking back up at her. "Why, Joanna, why did you meet them?" "I was looking for you." There was silence for a moment and he nodded. "As did I, my first time. I would be happy to not do so again." The effort seemed to exhaust him and he slumped, his head resting on his chest. She stood, picking at the leather on his wrists. It was tied tightly, but she could pick at it. She bent, talking quietly into his ear. "Can you stand and take the pressure off these, please?" He looked into her eyes and she winced, looking away before she could see the pain in them any more than she had to. She put her shoulder in his armpit and tried to heave him up. He helped and stood, swaying slowly. She pulled at the bonds, loosening them bit by bit. The leather was wet with sweat and blood and almost glued together, but she got it apart, losing only one nail in the process. When his right arm dropped, he staggered forward and spun slowly round, his weight centred on the other bond. She put herself in the way and he bumped into her. She almost fell over again. He was far heavier than he looked, and almost naked, and pressed against her. She bent to the task of the other bond, finally pulling it clear, only just managing to stay on her feet and take his weight. When the leather fell away, he collapsed, taking her down as well, so they lay in a heap. The smell of blood and sweat was strong, tickling her nose and making it itch. She shoved him as gently as she could until she could crawl free and sit up, peering down at him. His eyes were closed. The blood came from tiny holes where the skin had been ripped open and still hung, little tags of flesh. There were burns also, the skin tight and discoloured. She stroked his hair, peering around them into the darkness. She started when the door opened, lifting her head off his shoulder. Her eyes were gritty and her mouth like she'd drunk loads of coke and not cleaned her teeth. How long had she been sleeping? What would Mum be thinking? Was she supposed to be at school? She was. Yeah, it was Thursday. How cool is that? The man she had spoken to earlier stalked into the room. He was one of the four, part of the council, but he still couldn't quite get his robe tied properly, one hand fiddling with it as he strode in. We called a meeting. Did he want a response to that? Round of applause, maybe? It has been decided that you may fight for your master's freedom. It is an old tradition, but one you may be worthy of. You have an hour to decide and prepare. He turned to leave and she tried to put her thoughts into some sort of order. Wait, hold on. What happens if I don't fight? He stopped, glancing back over his shoulder. When I say you may fight, what I mean is you will. She scrambled up, her knees cracking. She flew at him, hands outstretched to do what? She had no idea. He spun, his own hand raising, and she stopped. Completely. She was trying to move, but nothing worked. What had he done? She sagged, her body going limp. He stepped closer, staring into her eyes. What you should have asked is what will happen if you lose. She didn't have the chance to ask as he strode from the room. When the door slammed behind him, the spell stopped and she staggered and fell on her face, swearing as her head struck the stone. She sat up, rubbing it and groaning. Martin was watching her, eyes open completely now. We must prepare. She could give up. The thought was mighty tempting. It would be easy. She could find a quiet corner of the room, curl up, and refuse to talk to anyone. They'd drag her into the main room or arena or wherever it was she was going to fight, and she could just be curled up and someone would do something horrible and it would all be over. Scarlet moaned and pushed herself to her feet, walking slowly back to Martin. Can I give up now, please? He tipped his head to one side, the ghost of a smile playing across his swollen lips. Of course you may. You have already done more than I could ever have expected. She blushed, looking at her feet. Her shoes were a state, soggy and covered in dirt. She got to buy Converse maybe once every couple of years, tops, and these were like her favourite pair. That was all it took. What do I have to do? I mean, I can't fight. Martin shook his head slowly. You will not be fighting, not how you imagine it. The council have grown civilised in recent decades. It will be a power show, nothing more. So what will I do? You will choose a spell and cast it, and your opponent will have the chance to counter it. Whoever comes out on top will win. What if I do a get me the hell out of here spell? Martin chuckled, wrapping his arms around his chest and wincing. There are wards on this place, powerful wards. You will not be leaving until they decide you may. Why do you think I am still here? Well, you were, you know, tied up. He looked at her and she gave him a sheepish grin. He nodded uncomfortably and went on. What you must focus on is putting yourself into the spell. When we are practicing in a safe place, it is easy. But when you are surrounded by people watching and it is a matter of life or death, it will be quite different. He paused, coughing. She moved closer, putting her hand on his shoulder. He smiled at her, moving so he could sit properly. The power you have, the innate power, is as much a part of you as your personality, the things you love and hate, the beliefs you hold. You must put all of that into your casting. We have spoken before about opening yourself, letting the magic come from within. This is where it must happen. Do you understand? She nodded and shrugged. Yeah, I think so. He raised his eyebrows but nodded in return. She pulled the spellbook out, thumbing through it to find the things they had worked on. What about ingredients? They will have them. Everything you could need. Like I say, they are civilized. She nodded, not sure why he was putting emphasis on the civilized. But maybe she should, so she kept quiet. He was breathing hard still, gasping against whatever was hurting him, and she watched, frustrated at there being nothing she could do. She spoke softly. Martin, about why you're here. Is it to do with your wife? When he looked up, she recoiled. The pain she had seen before in his eyes was nothing compared to this. It was like he was carrying something, some huge weight she couldn't see, that bore down on him, threatening to crush him into the ground. He opened his mouth but didn't say anything. Martin cast his eyes around the room and gestured slowly with one hand. "We shall talk about that after we leave here. There it is in here, Joanna, and they will hear everything." She nodded and they fell into silence.
"I thought you said I needed to prepare."
He laughed quietly. "I did, but in truth there is little we can do. Look through your spells, choose one you feel good about using. Revise it, ensure you can speak it properly. That is all I can tell you now." He looked back down at the floor and her heart lurched, becoming heavy. They had to get out of here, just so she could see him feeling something other than sadness. Her world was shifting and coming apart, and she wasn't sure she could handle it. Like when Mum and Dad started shouting. She had been young enough to not know what was happening, but everything else had gotten so much harder. They sat in silence until the door cracked open and one of the younger men came through. He spoke in the same affected and silly voice.
"You will follow me now, both of you."
She almost said something but cut herself off. What was the point? If she came here to study, would they make her do the voice? There was no way she was even attempting it. Then again, the robes were pretty lame as well. What good's a robe that only comes to your knees? She helped Martin stand and together they walked slowly from the chamber and out into the corridor. The lights were brighter here, and she squinted as they made slow progress towards wherever it was she was going to fight. Eventually, the man stopped before a door, holding the handle and muttering quietly. The door clicked open and he pushed it, gesturing for them to precede him into the room beyond. They hobbled through together and paused, just inside, looking around. There were four chairs again, but they were higher up and bathed in shadow. Three of them were full. So three of the four had decided to come and watch her. That was nice. Around the edge of the room, chairs sat on a series of steps, three deep. They were filled with men and women, of various ages, all wearing robes or the black outfits her first captors had worn. The conversations petered out as the audience noticed them, until the room was silent and hundreds of pairs of eyes fixed on Scarlett and Martin. The middle of the room was empty, a large circle, maybe as big as a large classroom. Standing across from her, in front of the three masters, were the three boys who had first found her when she came into the council. They wore identical, smug smiles, and all stared straight at her. So being stared at was up there with having a knife held to your eye and physics lessons. Being stared at by a bunch of people who didn't like her was like 100 times worse. She jumped when one of the masters spoke, his voice booming and grand. "Miss Joanna Slater, please step forward into the circle."
Thanks for listening. If you liked what you heard, you can find more at cairnsrights.com. And come back in a week for the next episode. You can also find me on Pinterest, Facebook, Goodreads, and Twitter, or email me at michael@cairnsrights.com.